The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Wow, Mary Lou's back. I'm so proud to see you. Welcome home. And some of you are back today too, after being away. That's a great thing. It's good for us to be together and to worship God together. As I welcome you this morning, I do so genuinely, and I'm proud that we get to worship together. I wanted to share with you just these few words there of announcements. There are plenty of announcements in our bulletin for you to pay attention to. I'm not going to read those to you. But we do have a National Night Out coming up and Consecration Sunday. The details are in your bulletin. And our Jubilee on October 20th. That is coming up soon. And I hope that you've made your reservations. If you haven't, asked the questions you need to ask, or call the church office and we'll get you connected. Next Sunday is World Communion Sunday. And so we will celebrate the 24 hours of the clock around the world. And remember that in some time zone, in some place in every time zone, there will be Christians celebrating the sacrament of Holy Communion and remembering the Lord's Supper. We shall participate in that and make it a holy moment. All Saints' Day is coming. That'll be the next Communion Sunday, and that's when we remember all the saints of our church and name them, the ones who have died in the past year and the others whom we remember from the past as you nominate them. Plenty of other announcements in our bulletin. Please pay attention to those as you can, but for now, let's begin our worship together, and as we do, we'll miss John today, but we have Susan playing, and we're so glad to get to have her in the choir here. So let us begin our worship and worship God together. Tyler?
I will hold your people.
heart. I'm the Lord of wind and flame. I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will sing. Finest bread I will provide. Till their hearts be satisfied, I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go.
The creed in our bulletin. Let us unite our hearts and our voices in this historic confession of the Christian faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and to make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. While you're standing, let's pass the peace of Christ with one another. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us greet one another with the love of the Lord. Let's have our children come down front for the children's sermon with Amy this morning. Boys and girls, it's your spot.
Jesus, our Savior, Son, oh, the Bible tells me so. It's I'm so glad you're here today. I have some questions for you. Question one. Have you ever heard the word ambassador? Ambassador? Yes, you have? Do you know what it is? No? Well, I'll tell you. An ambassador is a person that is not really a ruler. It's a person that is chosen to take a message to other people. Our country and other countries have ambassadors. And our country sends different people to other countries to be messengers. They talk about how our countries can work together. So an ambassador is a messenger who does a special job for us. Do you think you could be an ambassador? Yes. Yes, guess what? We are ambassadors. You're on the right track, Britt. If we love Jesus and trust in him, we are ambassadors or messengers for Jesus. In our Bible verse today, it comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. And this is written by Paul. You remember the story of Paul? He was transformed. He was once Saul, and then God transformed him. Yes. So he's writing to the people in Corinth, and he says, "We are God's official messengers. It is as if God were making his appeal through us." In other words, we are messengers for Jesus. Since God is making God's message known to others through us. That means what we say and do is our message. If we are Jesus' messengers, then we do and say, well, what we do and say should be the things that Jesus would do or say. So, can you think of ways that we can be Jesus' messengers? That's right. Tell other people about Jesus. How? Reading the Bible, okay, or maybe if someone's having some trouble, you can share or pray with them or share a verse that might be helpful for them. Yeah, what else could we do to be Jesus' messengers? But you're exactly right. Sharing about Jesus and his love for them, right? That Jesus, tell people that Jesus loves them. Let's pray. It says, "Dear Lord, please help us to be your messengers. Amen."
On behalf of the Roberts family, Mike and I are going to be ambassadors today for the stewardship team. You probably have received over the past couple weeks a couple of letters from the Methodist Church, both from Pastor Sam and from Jim Brown, about this season of giving and rethinking why we give. And we took Sam's request, and we sat around the kitchen table and talked a bit about it. And so both Mike and I kind of want to share what came to our minds. And what stood out to me in the letter from Pastor Sam was that everything the church receives, and I think he means, you know, both our monetary gifts, our time, and our sharing of our talents, is used or maintained for the goals in the life of our congregation. And these goals, to me, one of the biggest goals we have is a presence in the community, and we're a presence in different ways. I can say it is Pastor Sam who was serving up Commerce Leadership Institute barbecue sandwiches at the Bash Friday night, or leading a service at Oak Manor. It's members of this congregation who work in social services and education. It's members who volunteer at multiple organizations and are a face of this church when we interact with others. And it's also physically this building. This building is a presence in this community, not just for those of us who are here Sunday morning, but lots of other groups who use this space. It may be the community Thanksgiving dinner hosted this coming November, or it's something that's been going on for a number of years right here in our education wing. If you could raise your hand if you know that the Girl Scouts meet here twice a month. Good, there's quite a few hands. They do, and it's a group of 9 young women, and about a week and a half ago, I had the privilege of meeting with them. They asked to talk with a woman of faith, and I was really quite touched that they considered me a woman of faith, and I visited with them, and they wanted me to reflect on their Girl Scout promise. And when I read the promise, I thought, oh, this is what John Wesley teaches us. Their promise is to serve God in my country, to help people at all times. And so we talked about that, and I shared with them a little bit about our faith history of the Methodism, and that we are called to do all the good you can by all the means you can and all the ways you can. So to me, that's very much what this season of stewardship is about. And I agree with Pastor Sam's comment that there's no better way to use your resources. So that is kind of what stirs me when I think about giving. And here's Mike.
So when someone asks me, why do I give? The short answer is because we're supposed to. That's what the Bible tells us to do. And that's what Oliver said, in a sense, as well. But I recognize that that doesn't necessarily make for a meaningful witness in front of a group of people like you. So I also recognize that we need to be able to elaborate as to why we give in order to demonstrate the level of our commitment. And so here it goes. I believe that we are all interconnected in this world through a divine spirit, and the spirit for our family in this church is Christianity. We are all children of God, and we have a duty not just to ourselves, but to others. Supporting the church is not only a way of demonstrating our own commitment to a Christian life, but extending the Christian life to others. One of the things Sam said in his letter sent out, as Angela said, is one of the goals of the life of our congregation is to grow our children and youth in the walk of faith. This statement seems to have more and more meaning as a parent of a growing child. As we get older, the responsibility of passing it on seems to get stronger, not just to our own kids, but other kids as well. The church serves as a way of passing on the faith to the next generation, and we would like to be a part of supporting this cause. So we encourage each of you to elaborate, jot down the reasons why you make a commitment to the church, something beyond, that's just what we're supposed to do. Review Sam or Jim's letter and use that as a starting point to prompt your thinking and or discuss with your family like we did. This type of review and discussion can help to affirm your commitment to supporting the church. And I also encourage everybody to hold on to that document over the years because it's interesting to revisit and see how your explanation changes over time. So this past week, we all received our pledge cards and on the back of the pledge card, it explains all the different ways that we give to the church. And that pledge card is due next Sunday, October 6th. So please return your cards timely. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert's family. Well, all that we have and are is a gift from God already. And so it's our discipline to return a portion of that gift as an act of worship. Here come our ushers to collect up and present this morning's offering. Let us pray together. God, as we prepare to make this act of worship an offering of ourselves, of our work, of our effort, of our God-given resources, we seek to be faithful. We turn all of this in to an act of worship, to honor you and give you praise. Amen.
Please take your seats.
one yellow card in the offering plates this morning, in addition to those prayers that are in our bulletin insert. This one includes Rita Hood for healing and hope, named by Kathy and Dave Giles. We also want to remember Carol and her family upon the passing of her dear mother, Yupel, a little over 100 years old. Most of you know Yupel, and I have had the privilege over the past year and a half or so to get to know her and to be with her many times and to pray with her. She's a dear lady. Our service will be here tomorrow morning at 10:30. I hope some of you can come and be a support for Carol and her family. We also remember Dora Wade and pray for her family. And there are plenty of others here on our list that you all can read for yourselves. I lift Glenna Anderson, Dennis's mom, and Abby Crawford, Janet Scalgi's daughter, Tiffany's father, Robert. It's a long list. And yet there are people among us who we need to lift and pray for. And so we do that, and that's what these moments are for. You will call those names and other names and needs of your own as we begin with our time of silence and praying together. Let us bow and pray together. God, as we come into your presence, we tremble. We find ourselves in awe of your majesty. We find ourselves on our knees, at least in our hearts, as we approach. God, for all of the gifts that you have given us as people of faith and as a congregation and the opportunities for ministry in this community, we are thankful, and we are grateful also that you help us to rise by your Spirit to the occasions of those ministries and to the remembrance of them and to the words to say when we are with someone who is grieving or sick. Oh God, we lift the names of these whom we have mentioned, for Yupel and Carol, for Dora, for Glenna and her family, for Abby, Robert, for Sarah Plemons and Donna Tavner, and Betty Whittington. God, we pause before you, knowing that your grace comes before and goes before, and that it's really not necessary for us to call these names. These are precious people whom you know and love and who know you and love you. And, oh God, we know that you are with them, whether we ask for that or not. And yet, we lift each other at difficult times and call upon your grace to sustain us, to give us words to say, to give us hope. Oh God, we also pray for our community, for our teams and our organizations, for our students across the road and up on the hill. God, we treasure the opportunities that we have to be an influence on our young, and we pray that they might look at us and see not us but you, a reflection of you in our eyes, in our actions, Oh God, we seek to be your family of faith here in this congregation, and we try to live that out. Help us to get that right, and help us to not just be a shining light, but to reflect your light in the dark corners of our community and our world. And now, Lord, these prayers, along with prayers for Rita, for all of our families, and for those in our community who have not yet found faith, draw us toward them. Keep us all in your care, for we seek to honor you and praise you and reach people in your name in every way we can. We pray now together the prayer that Jesus himself teaches us with words like these. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Together. Let us not walk in darkness. Let us turn to the good book. 2 Corinthians, verses 16 through 21. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The word of God for the children of God.
Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, Jean, and thank you, choir, for that inspiring anthem. Today, as we begin our sermon, I'd like to just share with you that I think breathing is pretty important. We talked last Sunday about respiration, right? And if you're a singer especially, you know how important it is to get a good deep breath before you sing. We talked about breathing in God's grace. And today we talk about breathing it out, expiration. We talk about how we're created and continually recreated, but a large portion of that comes in our breathing. We breathe in, we breathe out. Next Sunday we'll talk about inspiration, what we bring in, what impacts us and comes into us to fill us with God, inspiration, fill us with the Spirit of God. These words can go just about anywhere and they can get mixed up, but today, as we talk about letting air out of expiration, I would like to say that the reason for that is we are making room for more grace. We are wanting to open up new pathways for grace to come in to our lives so that we have more to breathe out and share with others, okay? That's the deal. That's what we are called toward as Methodist people, to be filled with God's Spirit in order to overflow and be able to share that Spirit with others. Well, these words all have something in common, obviously. That's that center root word, S-P-I-R, which is the same word we have in the word Spirit. We talk about the Spirit as one of the presences of God. And so when we have that word occur in the middle of another word, we know that we are talking about that Spirit, that air, that being among us. It's no coincidence that in the book of Acts in the New Testament, the Spirit of God comes upon the early church in the form of wind. Wind, air, breath. That's the story after Jesus has gone. But before Jesus has gone, we have a similar understanding of it. Jesus is about to leave the disciples and he breathes on them. And he says to them, "Receive my Spirit." Spirit is air. And it is all around us. Some people talk about, some traditions in the church talk about having the Holy Spirit or getting the Holy Spirit? Well, the Spirit of God is all around us, in us, around us, outside us, in others whom we see. And I can tell you, as a parent who has pretty much graduated, at least from having kids at home, that many, many times, I hope there were times that I was an evidence of God's Spirit for our young ones, but many, many times it was they, the young ones, who were the presence of God's Spirit for me. So don't discount what it means to be a child, even of an elder of faith, because your presence can be, and I think is, the very presence of God. The Spirit of God was present in the first pages of the Bible. The winds of creation, it says, the wind of God blew on the face of the waters, stirred the waters as if to raise up something new. No wonder the New Testament talks about breathing and making room for the Spirit of God in our lives. We expend a lot of air when we laugh heartily, and I think that's one of the healthy things about laughing, because we breathe in and then we let it out in the form of a big deep laugh. You should have seen our kids yesterday. Some of you did see them on that on the back of Pat Scalgi's truck, and some of us were walking along behind because we had 10 or 12 kids on the truck along with bales of hay, and it was pretty much full, but they really laughed, and they really threw out candy and did so with joy. You could just see that that was the evidence of a spirit of hope, a spirit of friendship, a spirit of love, even for people on the streets that we didn't know their names. That was inspiring. And we didn't tell them to do that. That's just what they did, because the Spirit of God bubbles up in us, and especially in our young ones. That's why we want to have them down front. It's maybe so they'll learn a little something, but it's also so you will learn from them. Okay? So we will learn from them. Yeah, we did have a big weekend, but that was pretty cool to throw out candy and to smile and get the smiles back that we found in that parade. The cheerleaders followed us around everywhere we went. They were right behind us. And people all over, up and down the streets, coming out of their houses and sitting on the curbs, and it was just wonderful. Well, we have some responsibilities with living with this Spirit. I think one of those is that we look back and we know where we've come from. We look back to the past and we celebrate our past and the things that have brought us to where we are. But we cannot stop there. We also have to look forward. We look forward to the future without knowing what is in it. Nobody knows that better than parents of young children. You don't know what their next move is going to be, much less what they're going to major in college, or what their careers will look like, or even where they will live. We look back to the past with fondness, or maybe with regret, with resolve to do something different. We look to the future, and the only thing we have is hope. An imagination, maybe, of what that future can look like. We wait for it, and we help to give birth to it. I think the Spirit of God can help us with that, because God was present in creation. God was present way before the creation began, and God will be present at the last day, when who knows what will happen. And when we don't know what our future will hold, we can know that we know who holds that future, and that God will be with us in it. So breathe in and breathe out and take those risks. We have to breathe out to make room for God. We have to breathe out. We have to expire ourselves, our insides. We have to breathe out in order to breathe in. God's very gift of spirit and grace. All three of our understandings of God that we celebrate in the Trinity are precious to us. But I think the one that is the most dramatic is the one that we currently live with. And that is that God's presence is all around us, whether we can see it or not. Presence in the Spirit, presence in the waves, presence in the children's smiles and laughter and joy at throwing candy out of a truck for little ones. And present in our every breath that we draw. Breathe in God's grace and breathe out the hope that comes with that grace so that it can be shared, so that it can be remembered, so that it can be held in hope, so that it can be held in future. We have to expel some air in order to make room for God's grace. Next week we'll talk about breathing in that grace, inspiration, and the hope that comes with it. For if we don't breathe out, then we don't make enough room for fresh air. Sound is made in singing and speech by exhaling through our vocal cords. That's what makes our voices sound. We breathe out through them. Those vocal cords provide some resistance, and as they do, they vibrate. And we sing, we speak, we sigh, we resonate. None of that would happen if we didn't push air out through those vocal cords, so we have to exhale. Even if we don't say words, we have to let air out. Words are holy. Both of our testaments, the Old Testament and the New Testament, begin with words. Word with a capital W. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you know how that happened? Through speech. God said, "Let there be." And there was. Light, wind, waves, water, earth, humankind, animals, plants of the field, birds of the air, all of it, God breathed into existence. That's Genesis, the very first book, the very first book of the New Testament, one of the first Gospels, the Gospel of John, has the same kind of global beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And what? The Word was God. Both of our divisions of Scripture begin with breath, with breathing, with speaking, God speaking things into existence. God spoke in creation, and God speaks in re-creation. And we speak. When we speak, we do it by exhaling air through our vocal cords. Through our lips, we whisper. Through our cords, when we sing. Through our resonance chambers, when we vocalize. Wow. God's words are powerful and creative. Let us echo those words. Because we are created in God's image, therefore we too speak words and we too create musically relationships, raising children, writing a song or a poem, We all create. We all are made in the image of God. Unless we decide not to. God does create us with freedom, and the human beings are created with the freedom to choose God or not God. So therefore, we can say, well, I'm choosing not to do that. I will not. I won't. Sometimes we use careless words like that that can hurt. Sometimes we say too much, or maybe even too little. Sermons are risky business. Sermons, the words that we say, are very self-revealing. They are words that live and resonate in our hearts, and when we let them come out our mouths, they sort of take a life of their own out there and live. You can't really ever take words back, can you? You can apologize. You can say, I didn't mean it, but you still said it. You still said the words. But you like to know the things that your pastors and leaders are struggling with. And we struggle too. We struggle to find the words, to discern what needs to be said and what is to be said. Pastors and, well, presidents can sometimes sound a little superficial or maybe even arrogant. But in reality, we all struggle, all of us struggle to get things right, to extend grace to one another in spite of maybe our missteps. And by doing that, we make room for that grace. That grace that we have from God for ourselves, and that grace which cleanses us from the inside out, and that grace which we offer to others, that grace which we exhale to others. Respiration is breathing in and out. Inspiration, which we'll tackle next week, is creative breath of God. Comes from our word inspire, to breathe within, to have God literally breathe within us. That makes us live. That is the very breath that God blew into the first humans in creation. Expiration is what goes out, and that's what we have to do to make room for inspiration. We have to let go of things. We have to let go, especially of some things, in order to make room for what God has to give, to invest in us. We breathe out before we can breathe in. Maybe that's why we have to give of our resources, to literally breathe out, to give to God, who is the great giver, in order that we are ready to receive what God has to give us. Breathing out, breathing in is something we do time and time again. It's not a lot different than walking a parade route. Where you and I end up sometimes right where we started. But somehow changed, made different by the journey. We breathe out ourselves and we breathe in grace. We breathe out our waste and we breathe in fresh oxygen. We breathe out our sorrow and we breathe in hope. We breathe out our busyness and breathe in calm. That one's for me. We breathe out our disappointment and breathe in good news. We breathe out our summer heat and we breathe in the fall atmosphere. We breathe out our grief as much as it hurts. and we breathe in the joy that comes in the morning. In the bottom line story of the Christian faith, authored by Jesus the Lord Himself, we breathe out dying and we breathe in life. Isn't that a miracle? Let's all exhale. Let's all breathe out to make room for more of God within us. Let us breathe in the very gift of God's Spirit again and again. And let us pray. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love what Thou dost love, and do what Thou wouldst do. Day for you to come to faith in Christ or to come and just breathe here at the altar in and out for a little bit. You are welcome to come. If you want somebody to pray with you, just get my attention. If not, I'll leave you alone. Or you can pray right where you are and receive the gift of grace that we have been talking about in God's Holy Spirit. As we sing this hymn of faith, if you've got business to do with God, or if you're ready to join this congregation, or claim your faith for the first time, or to reclaim it, then the altar is open for you to come, to receive that gift of grace, and to make it known among your brothers and sisters in Christ who will lift you in prayer. Let's sing together. Tyler?
As we will.
As Tucker and Britt lead us out with the very light of Christ, we follow that light. We live not only in its shadow, but in its light. And we reflect that light to others where we go. God bless you this week, and find a way to shine some light on the world. In your place, amen.